Ditto. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing in us, bringing us along and keeping us next to you, Lord. Lord, I just ask for a greater anointing to get rid of the self and the world and all the distractions that come upon us. And I praise you, Father, for helping us out in that regard. And you're doing it, and I thank you for it, Father. I've noticed I get aware that when you look at something on YouTube, that not to, unless it's edifying, not to do it. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time. We're going to talk about you, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that everybody here is starting to look just like you, walk just like you, and talk just like you. In the name of Jesus, we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for cooling off the weather for those who like it and to keeping it just like it is for those who like what they got. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Lord, I thank you for victory to getting these Muslims out of here, out of these United States. And Lord, I thank you for shutting down all of the Sharia law that they're trying to institute in certain cities and areas. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that the locals are going to rise up, come against them. The Christians are going to start praying against them. And we do. We pray against this Antichrist religion. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we cast it down, cast it out of these United States of America in Jesus' name. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that anyone who has seemingly gotten into the Senate or the House and are Muslims, that you're thrown out the Constitution. And there are laws that prohibit that, I found out today. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, getting them out of here, that they open up those laws and getting those people out of the government. And all the way down to the city level, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And Lord, I thank you for your healing power upon those who are seeking healing from you, not seeking it, but confessing it. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for your word that tells us to confess those things that in your name, then we'll be healed, delivered, and set free forevermore. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody here is determined to walk like you, talk like you, and act like you. And we praise you for it, Father. We're doing the word. And I praise you and thank you for that, Father. Place it in our hearts, Lord, that the Holy Spirit leads and guides us in everything that we do do. And if we do that, Lord, we'll be fine on the day of reckoning. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that when the day comes, that all of the shaking's coming, that we will be a light in all the darkness, and that people would run to us, and the signs and wonders would follow, that would bring millions into the kingdom, Father God, all over this world. And we praise you and thank you for it, your man-child ministry and your bride ministry, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord, for these coming days. We ask and we pray, Father, that everybody understands their authority in you, Lord, and if they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, Lord, that they have the power of the universe working inside of them. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, to steer us and guide us and lead us and teach us those things that we need to understand. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. Amen and amen. All right, anybody else got a good prayer? Remember what we said the other night. Yeah, Patrick, go ahead.
Father, just thank you for your word. your word of truth and praise and thanksgiving, Lord. Thank you that you have given your word to us to confess and to pronounce victory on the things that may be internal in our life and also external in the world today, Lord. And you've telling us through Psalm 149, verse 6, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This honor hath all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Father, would you give us the wisdom to apply your word of truth, of praise, to overcome these obstacles again in our personal life that we may be discovering or encountering, but also on the exterior in the earth today. As Michael was saying, enemy is trying to come in with a Sharia law and trying to enslave people, and floods are coming in. But Lord, you've given us the power and you've given us the word and the authority to praise you and to receive your blessing, to receive your victory. And Lord, we just ask and continue to ask for wisdom to just to apply your word of truth to these specific issues that we see in front of us. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And we thank you that the same Spirit, same Holy Spirit of God is here to give us power to exercise your dominion in the earth today. And so we thank you for it, Lord, for these praises. We praise you and we thank you for this truth, this honor, this grace, and this power in our lives, Lord. We just look to you. Lord, increase our love. Increase our love for you, for righteousness, for truth, for grace, for your presence in our life. And we just thank you for it. We thank you that by your grace, we were saved through faith and that not of ourselves. It's your gift to us, Lord. And we just thank you for it. We praise you and we lift you up, Lord, our God, our refuge, our high tower, our strength, our power, our deliverer, everything we need in you, you've given us, Lord. You've placed us in you, and we call upon you, Lord. We say unto the Lord, you are our refuge. And so we thank you for your strength and guidance. And we thank you for even the messages that we've been receiving as of late, and how you empower the weak and the needy and those that come to you as a little child. You empower them to take down the enemy. And in so doing, you establish a name for yourself. You establish your reputation in the earth today. And Lord, this world needs to know you and to know who you are and see that example, Lord, to see that example in the earth today. And we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the great work that you're doing in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, Andrew, go ahead. Or Benjamin.
Hey, y'all. it's a prayer request. Karen has asked for a prayer request for her friend, Bianca. So she has been dating this guy for like 3 months now. And, well, she's pregnant. And they're not married, so There's that. Very obviously not the best circumstances, but the reason she's asking for prayer is because the father has mentioned adoption or abortion. And it's a very like I don't want to make a bold statement against this guy. I don't know if he said it out of fear or if he's saying it out of whatnot. I haven't met the guy yet. We were supposed to meet him. She's 36, so she's not young, but she's not old, but they're not married. So that's yeah. And basically what I'm gonna ask for prayer that he has a level head and that he has no fear walking into this. She's not gonna get an abortion. She said, I'm having this baby, whether you're a part of it or not. And so I want to pray just a whole bunch of things, and I'm just going to ask that you all agree with me. Lord Father God, I just want to have, I don't know how to pronounce the name. I just want to have the father to not think of abortion anymore, that what he thought about abortion, that he was just out of his mind, and that he quickly goes back to Bianca, and that he comes back to her, and he wants to be a father to this child and a husband to her. Remind him of, well, remind him that he needs to love this Bianca and love this child no matter what. And that they come together and that they realize that they need to get married. Lord, this is not the way that it's supposed to be, but the way that it is. And I just pray that you put the right thing in their heart to do. Lord, Father God, I pray that you protect them. And that any sort of thoughts of mistrust or any sort of thoughts of being left alone or any thoughts of abandoning the child or aborting the child or any hate towards each other or any sort of mistrust towards each other, I rebuke it down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for the sake of the child and for the innocence of the child. That the child has both the mother and the father supporting it in love. And Lord Father God, I pray that you baptize them in the Spirit. I pray that you put it in their hearts to obey your word and that they come to you in repentance, Father. Lord Father God, give them an enlightenment of the Holy Spirit and help them understand that what they did is wrong, but they can still have the love of God shed abroad through them. Show them your love, Lord, and show them that your love can overcome any sort of sadness, any sort of fear towards this major chapter and this sort of major thing that has happened. Lord Father God, I just pray that you marry them as quick as possible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Patrick.
Father, I just join in this prayer also, and Lord, I'd ask that you would instill the fear of God in both of these people, and that you would place in them a greater fear for you from offending an awesome God and the potential of standing naked before you in judgment one day. I don't know how you would do these things, Lord, but I just ask that you would bring forth repentance in both and stir their hearts to see the greater danger ahead, Lord. I know that some are brought into your kingdom through love, and some are motivated by fear. And I don't know which it takes here, but if it is love, then Lord, I Pray that you would open their eyes to your grace and your love. If it is fear, you would open their eyes to your awesome power and greatness and their responsibility to you. So, Lord, I just trust you for choosing the way. Just trust you that you've led every one of us to you, Lord, by knowing who we are, what makes us tick, and what we needed to come into you, into your kingdom, into your awareness. I pray that you would just shed your awareness into their hearts. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, really good. Yeah.
I just want to add on to these prayers, Father. I pray that for this man that you would give him an understanding, a revelation of what happens, and the consequences of an abortion. And maybe he's just ignorant about it, or hasn't really thought about it, or has just believed the lies of the enemy out there that this is just the right thing to do because it's an inconvenience for him, or whatever. I thank you, Lord, for drawing him and pouring out your spirit upon them, and I don't know their soul salvation, God, where they are with you, but I pray for both of them that you would draw them to Jesus, save their souls, and just pray grace upon this whole situation, and that the love of God would should be shed abroad in their hearts, and that this baby is protected under all costs in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for giving peace to, is it Bianca, Brianka, Brianna, Bianca, the woman, the wife, the mom, the friend. And I just pray you bless them, Lord, and that she'll stand strong in this and she won't be coerced or manipulated into doing something against her will. And that you would put your will in both of their hearts, Father, about what is right for everybody involved. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Just a quick amendment. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind just the spirit of the world, the spirit of the evil one in either one or both of those, I guess Bianca and her boyfriend, that I bind those spirits that would keep them back from investigating you, observing you, seeking you out with their whole heart. And I just thank you for it. We put a hedge of protection around those. Lord, we send forth the angels to make it happen. Draw them into your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Benjamin, go ahead.
Well, to shine some light on a very dim thing, there was a bit of a blessing for me. So y'all know I was going to be going to school on nights, and that's going to be happening pretty soon. And it was regularly scheduled for Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so that was a bit of a shame. But just recently, the schedule has changed for it to go Mondays to Wednesdays. So I can still attend the meeting with you guys.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. There'll be a busy schedule, but I'm very blessed that that happened.
Yeah, you can handle it. Thank you, Lord. Lord be to God.
And I also ask that y'all pray that the classes go well. Thank you. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for changing the schedule up to where Benjamin can be with us. We can't let him go like that. All right, go ahead, Missy.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you if I ever caught what you're going to school for, if I may ask.
Basically, it's just the next level of the trade that I'm in. So I have like a learner's or a helper's permit, and I'm just getting the next level in that. It's just only,
Okay.
yeah, it's not like a full like school course load. It's only for like a month and a
And what is that trade?
half. Gas fitting. So I'm an HVAC technician, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We well, thank you, Lord, for blessing Ben with this, Lord, and he's gonna get good grades, and it's gonna come easy for him. And thank you, Lord, that it's not for very long, Lord,
Praise
and
God.
that it's just gonna go by quickly. And thank you, Lord, for giving him the knowledge and the know-how and all that that he needs, Lord, to go through this and on come out being a good HVAC guy in
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, give him all the knowledge you can, Lord, so he can help us down here in Jesus' name.
Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, who's next? I fixed to ramp it up a little bit with a good song. Let's see here. Let's see, share. I almost forgot, dude, how to do this.
I get up.
I get up.
I get up.
I saw some of you just sitting there. I don't see how you can sit there when you got stirred up going on out there. Goodness gracious. Help me, Jesus. That's a good sound. I like it. All right. Has anybody got anything I'd like to share? Well, anything is on your mind? Yeah, Jane.
Did you see my text message I sent you with that question? It was a Bible verse question, and I was wondering what y'all maybe thought about what it might mean.
Is that the one about 911?
No. A Bible verse.
Did you send it in a text or what?
Didn't I send it? I'm sorry if I didn't. Let me
Oh, you
see
had
here.
shadows, didn't it?
Yes.
Was looking on the phone. Let
Can you
me
move your
see.
microphone a little closer to your?
Yeah, I think
Thank you.
I can. Yeah. I don't see anything. Anybody else see anything?
It's not in there that I can see.
I don't think there's anything in there, Judy.
Put it in a Signal chat to you, Michael. I didn't put it in everybody. I sent it a little while ago.
Okay, let me look and
I'm
see.
sorry, I wasn't clear.
That's okay. Very forgiving tonight.
I have my moments where I'm just not very clear.
Okay. That Revelation 3:10. Revelation 3:10 says this, because thou didst keep the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of trial, that hour which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. What does this part mean? Keep the word of my patience. That's a good question. Anybody got any insight? Because thou didst keep the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of trial. That hour which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Keep the word of my patience. All right, let's hear some word here. Anybody understand what he's talking about here? Well, he's talking about the hour of trial. What is that? Let's figure out what that is. What is that? Ahead, Judy.
I think the hour of trial is the tribulation. The hour of trial is the 7 year of tribulation. And it's not getting caught up in a rapture.
Okay. Missy may have a correction here. Go ahead, Missy.
I was just reading the other day, I believe it was in Hidden Manna, and David was saying the hour, if I remember correctly, when it talks about the hour, whatever is, I think it's a 3.5 year period, which I think he was the second half of the tribulation or something. I don't know. I think either the hour rep, I've we have to look that up again. But anyway, I looked up the cross references to that, and let me read those cross references. Revelation 1:9 says, "I, John, your brother and partaker with you in the tribulation and kingdom and patience, which are in Jesus, was in the isle of Pat of it was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus." In the tribute, okay. "I, John, your brother and partaker with you in the tribulation and kingdom and patience which are in Jesus." And then another one is Revelation 13:10 says, "If any man is for captivity, into captivity he goes. If any man shall kill with the sword must he be killed. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." And then Revelation 14:12 says, "Here is the patience of the saints, that they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." So I don't know if that was a help.
Did you have anything that you wanted to say about it?
Well, patience just often makes me think of waiting. "Because thou didst keep the word of my patience." Don't know. "I also will keep you from the hour of trial, that hour which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Now, this is to the church in Phil, yeah, the Philadelphia church, the Bride Church. "Word of my patience." Like
Okay.
I said, it always makes patience makes me think of waiting, trusting in. If you wait, you trust the Lord, and I don't jump out ahead of him, in the flesh or in my own natural so-called wisdom and knowledge or whatever, by what I see or hear or feel or my senses or whatever. So that's just some things that come to my mind.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Andrew, or Ben, or both.
Well, in Romans chapter 5, it tells us to, you can take Romans chapter 5 and put it up there with James chapter 1. It says to rejoice in tribulation because tribulation worketh patience, and patience approveness, and approveness hope, and hope putteth not to shame. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. But you see, when you overlay James chapter 1 on this, you can see what approvedness is more clearly, and what the patience is too. And you almost have to read both of them together and take the patience and collate it with what it's saying in James and what it's saying by the Apostle Paul, because it's kind of the same thing when you're being tempted, I guess. And when you get shocked by things, I guess. So the patience there is also mentioned in by Peter also, where you're supposed to add to your be diligent to add to faith virtue knowledge, and to knowledge patience, and then self-control. I can't remember whether it's self-control first, or patience, and then godliness and brotherly kindness and love. And it kind of builds up that way, and the patience will bring you to the love of God. And of course, this love is agape love, and it's obedience to God, to obey Him. That's what you want to do at all times, regardless of what's happening around you. I remember during COVID, the shots, they were sending us home from work, and you'd be home quite a bit. It's almost like you had another vacation and stuff. And there was so much there, and it was the constant bombardment of everyone I knew. And plus, it's on the news and everywhere. So, one of the times when they sent us home from work, I was just sitting in my chair saying, I guess I'm going to have to wait for the vaccine police to knock at the door and come and arrest me. That's what I kind of thought it was going to come to. And from then on, it started dying down a bit, and now it's not even thought about anymore. So how did such a disruption come to nothing, And the Lord intervened, and I thank the Lord for that. And it was a long ordeal, very long, and I thank God that I think being in the company of the people here and encouraged by God and the Spirit of God that didn't partake of that kind of stuff, and then I thought I was perhaps the only one in Ottawa that didn't, and there are some people out there who haven't, but there are some people still wanting to go that way. They have fear. I still see an occasional mask on a person around here, but I think it was reignited with something. And I just thank the Lord that He had me focused through that, even though there was some fear that came upon me, and especially thoughts going through your head where you're going, well, I guess my family's really gonna ostracize me now because I don't have the jab, and I felt like as if I was already ostracized for the way I believed, and now this, I guess I was pretty much used to it then, and just said, well, it's I'm separating myself like you want me to, Lord. And it's a struggle, It is a struggle. You get tempted a lot of things. And I'm talking about things that just pop into my head, and you got to fight the good fight of the faith. Let's just say in my journey, going through all these different churches that I went through, there was some really surprising things, Even some of the pastors exclaimed and said, "These people actually think they're Christian," And I realized just how much has been messed up, and how can people rejoice in tribulation when they won't even know what it is, Anyway, it's just so much, that I actually reviewed that not too long ago, the James chapter 1, and compared it again to
Romans chapter 5 and 5 and 3 to, or 5 and 2 to 5 and, well, 5 and 1 to 5 and 5. It's easier for me to remember the Roman one rather than the James one, you know. But it does say, you know, that count it all joy when manifold temptations come upon. And I remember the day when that's what actually happened, a manifold temptations. And the Lord, you know, it was a struggle. And I don't even think I was with you, BM, yet. And I sometimes don't know where I would be now if I wasn't led here by someone to come and listen. I thank the Lord for that. Praise the glory to God. And you know, there's no other place for me to go, you know. But I know there's some other people here that I know of in Ottawa that are not pre-tribbers. So, but I don't really know the people too well. You know, they were just an acquaintance I had at work through a good friend of mine that passed away. Anyway, he had a twin brother. Didn't know him too much. Anyway, praise and glory to God.
All right, Pat. Thank you, Andrew.
Excuse me. So Andrew just gave us a perfect example of patience that explained in Revelation 3. And what Andrew was saying is that the thing that I was seeing that you were saying is that God placed something, some truth in your heart that you saw a better way, God's way, through the process, yet, and you made that decision not to take the world's way and found yourself on the outs with all the world, at least around you, against you. You being the only one, at least that you were able to observe around you, that chose to refuse that vax. And in so doing, found certain people possibly ridiculing you. But most of all, found certain thoughts that rose up within you, either being thrown in there by the devil or just thoughts out of your soul coming out, certain fears, certain things that you probably would have never thought about had you not found yourself in opposition against the world system by obeying God, by obeying your conscience. Exactly what the angel of the Church of Philadelphia said, these things saith he that is holy, that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that opens and none shall shut, he that shuts and none openeth. So, he's establishing where this message is coming from. It's coming from the Lord Jesus, right from the throne of God. I know thy works. I have set before thee a door opened, which none can shut, that you have a little power and did keep my word and did not deny my name. And I think ultimately, when you find yourself in obedience and compliance and in desire to obey God's word and find yourself contrary to the society around you or the external influences in your life, you go through a rocky time of opposition, tribulation, or whatever, and it takes patience to wait out the process because God is bringing us through a time. And that tribulation creates disturbance, it creates thoughts, it creates fears, it brings all kinds of stuff up out of us that we, again, probably would have never seen or never realized existed there. And it takes, patience to wait through it, even when you see yourself as, you look in the mirror, and you don't see much of Jesus in there. You see all of Pat, or you see all of, you're shaking like a leaf in some of those experiences. And when it's all said and done, you just have to cry out to God and say, "Lord, you got what you paid for here. You're going to have to take this thing through, You're going to have to, you purchased me with your blood. I'm yours. And you're going to have to show me how to walk through this thing." And in your patience, God takes us through this patience. Our patience allows us to, and it's because we see that door open. We see the destination. We see where we want to end up. In Jesus, released, whatever it is, we see the promise given. And it's a door opened unto us, and no one can shut it. It's open for us. And we just, and he says, "You have a little power and did keep my word and did not deny my name. Behold, I give you this, I give of the synagogue of Satan, of them that say they are Jews and they are not, but do lie." And if I understand what Andrew said there, I'm not sure I took it correctly, but it sounded as though some Christians or pastors or whatever were indicating that those that didn't take the vax, how can they be Christians? How can they even be Christians? Was that what you were saying, Andrew?
No, actually, that happened way before in the past.
Oh,
Vaccine.
okay. I mistook it.
Some other things that happened, some reliable sources that, let's just say, I was privy to a lot of things that were covered up. And some of them very disturbing, and I don't want to talk about that.
Well, anyway, it was so I misunderstood what Andrew was saying there, but this angel is telling these Christians, these saints of Philadelphia, that there is a synagogue of Satan, of those who say they are Jews, say that they are Christians, but they are not. They're living a lie. And I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and know that I love thee. There's some things in the Psalms that indicate that that will happen in the end of this tribulating process. Because you did keep the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of trial. I think that trusting the Lord, waiting for his work, his word to be completed within us, and I guess you might say putting the final nail in the coffin, and that old man dying the death, and the new man living the life of Christ. When that process has been completed, the hour of trial will have no effect. Well, it's like David, it will have no effect upon us because all that keeps us bound to this earthly jurisdiction has been eliminated, nullified, or zeroed out, I guess you might say. And therefore, this hour of trial that is coming upon the world is coming to create that necessary disturbance to turn people to God, to turn people to God so that they will and can be prepared to receive that salvation and that salvation message, because they will fight through all the fears and they will fight through the anxiety, and if they want the life of Christ, if they want the salvation of God, they'll fight through it and grasp it and take hold of it. And if not, they will turn to the world for the world's salvation. That hour of trial for those who have gone through that, trusted the Lord, and he has taken them through that purifying fire process, just like the three Egyptian children in the furnace of fire, those bonds were burned off and removed, and they were set free. To walk through that fire and that hour of trial that came in the future for them did not affect them. They were standing in a different perspective, in a different place. That hour of trial, which is to come upon the whole earth and try them that dwell upon the earth. Those who have gone through that process ahead of time have found their way into dwelling in the heavenlies as opposed to upon the earth. And that I believe it is, and that patience is required to go through that process, that patience of keeping your eye upon the open door that the Lord has set before us, and the promises that he has given us, even though we don't see them, Those promises still live. They are still true. They still are the foundation of our life, and they will be revealed in us in time. Just like the tree planted by the rivers of water, it takes time for that tree to grow up and to bear fruit. But there is a perfection, a completeness at the end of this process for all those. He that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out thence no more, etc. Yeah, so that's what I believe this patience is for, because it takes endurance, enduring to the end until you see, experience those promises being brought into reality physically in your life, in our lives. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Missy.
I found, I believe I found where, what I was referring to earlier about the 3.5 years. But it mean probably isn't necessarily referring to this. This is what I found. I'll read to you. If anybody wants to look it up quick, it's page 297 in Hidden Manna. Again, we see many Antichrist sons of perdition falling away in order to be revealed that they are not of us. Notice that this will be seen in the last hour. In Revelation 17, 12, the beast rules for 1 hour, which is the last 3.5 years, when he will make war on the saints. 13:7. He refused the mark of the beast. These Antichrist sons of perdition will try to preserve their lives by taking the mark, proving themselves members of the body of the beast in the last hour. Anyway, that probably doesn't necessarily apply to this, but I just had some other thoughts too. Let me get back here. I looked up in Strong's and Thayer's. Patience also means endurance, constancy. I was looking at some commentaries too, and word of my patience. It kept the word of my patience. There's comments saying that it's the gospel, and it really it's any of God's word if we trust in it and believe in it, his gospel or whatever. If I believe in it, then I'm gonna have that endurance. I'm gonna rest, like I was saying earlier. If I'm patient, I'm gonna wait. And the only way we're gonna endure, the only way I'm gonna endure to the end and be saved is if I rest from my works and wait and be patient upon the Lord and let him do his works in me and through me. So, that's just some more thoughts I have on that. Keep you from the hour of trial. And I see that also the trials. We all go through trials. I have my trials. Everybody has their trials. I often think, the Lord has tailor-made my trials and everybody else's trials. And I often think, oh my gosh, I'm glad I haven't had to go through what so and so is going through, and sometimes, I look at somebody else, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, but they're going through a trial that they need, and I'm going through a trial that I need, and it just burns up our flesh, it burns up my independence, my self-reliance, my self-confidence, and that's my trials. But I trust in him that I be patient and endure, and so that's just some more thoughts I have on that. Trials that come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So my thought is, I want to dwell in the heavenlies, and that's to me is dwelling in Jesus, abiding in Jesus, obeying him. And if I dwell in the heavenlies, then I don't need to go through this hour of trial that comes upon those that dwell upon the earth, because I dwell in the heavenlies. I abide in the Lord. So, anyway, just some more thoughts.
All right. Go ahead, Gary.
Just some things that were coming to me as you were all talking, kind of helped me look up some other references. Where he says, because you have kept my word of patience. And it's like we've been, he wants us to keep, his word. He commands us to keep his word. So I looked up, first I looked up, kept my word, and I come up with that scripture. And I think another one, but it says, keep my word. And in John 8:51, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my word, he shall never see death. And in the tribulation, what we go through is to put to death our flesh, which you guys all talked about. It's like our patience, what God allows in our trials, that we're patient through it and let him have his way in us. That we go through this stuff, it exposes things in me, what the trials, it's supposed to expose the things in us that He wants us to see and repent of and get cleansed of, so we can be pure, so we can be that death to the old man, that we overcome our flesh and sin. Okay, so you'll never see death. Okay, in John 14:23, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode in him. And in 15, John 15, he told them, I'll just kind of skip over here. A servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And then the other ones were, we touched about keeping the word. Pat shared some, and anyhow, so I was thinking, this is about being obedient to the Lord, and because we have kept his word of patience, we keep his word, we obey him. Whatever he's written on my heart, I have to obey him. And when I do that, then I'm pleasing the Lord, and I'm walking in all the light I have. So I'm keeping his word, I'm obeying him, what I know. Anyhow, I that the Philadelphia church, I know David has taught that's the bride, and he's going to keep the bride from going through that hour of trial that comes upon the whole earth. So it's not, I think it's what Missy shared about that being the last hour. I think that's part of it, but I think the tribulation isn't the tribulation. No, that's coming on the whole world. That's the judgments on the whole world. That 7-year period is what I think that hour is. It's not just necessarily the last hour. but we're going to go through the tribute. I think the bride, I think that scripture has to do with the bride. I will keep you from that hour of trial that's coming on the whole world. We're going to be kept from the tribulation because we're already going through our testings and our tribulations because we've kept his word of patience. We're letting him go deal with us individually so we can be cleansed, purified, and be ready to help minister to the other people. We've already gone through our testings, our trial. The world hasn't. The other Christians haven't. And so that's what I was thinking. That part, Matt, was that hour that's coming upon the whole world because the whole world's going to go through tribulation judgments. But I was just thinking it's about keeping his word and being patient in whatever we have to go through, that we're not running back to Egypt. We're not trying to save ourselves. We're not trying to, get our way out, find a way out of the trial. We got to be patient and endure the end. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, thanks for sharing your answers. That helped.
Amen. All right, Missy.
I just found something else that is good too. Hebrews 6, starting in verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, since he could swear by none greater, he swear by himself. And my thought is that's his word. What he said is his word. Okay, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you, and thus having patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Abraham went through a lot. It took him 25 years to receive that promise, I think is anyway, for men swear by greater, and in every dispute of theirs, the oath is final for confirmation, wherein God, being minded to show more abundantly unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, interposed with an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us, which we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and entering into that which is within the veil. It is impossible for God to lie. Boy, we got the whole Bible. Of his word, a word of his patience. Word, anyway, so he promises that God be, I just remind myself of these verses all the time, let God be found true and every man a liar. It's impossible for God to lie. God is not a man that he should lie. Every bit of his word is true. And if I believe it, I can have it. No matter what my trial is, if I just stand on the promises, it's mine.
Amen. Yeah, hanging in there with your faith is what he's talking about. In we've got to have faith to believe it, and just keep on with the faith. It makes no difference what you see around you. Good gracious, you know that God's going to take care of you and your family, those people that you've been praying for. Yeah, I believe that's what it is. The faith that you've learned over all the years. Praise God. I mean, how many of you are going through trials right now? And if all of you don't raise your hand, there's something wrong. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. That's a trial that David and I both are going through that are just giving us bold faith, Because when you don't see an answer right away, you know, some people, you know, you just, for goodness sake, Lord, help out here. No, just keep on believing. Keep on believing. It's that nonstop. Amen, I guess. All right, anyone else? Hold fast to your faith. Confess your faith. That's what I like to do, is confess the faith. Amen. Amen, blessing. Go ahead.
When you said that, it made me think of hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not, for
Yep.
he is faithful that promised. God is not a man, he should lie. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You just never give up, do you? We never give up. God is with us in the battle every time. He's with us in the battle, whether we see it or not. He's with us. All right. Anyone else on what Judy wanted us to look at? Boy, that was a good one too. We endure to the end. That's right, Barbara. Okay, anybody got anything else? Let me look here right quick. I've got something I saw earlier that I probably wanted to go into. I'm just going to throw something out there. I hadn't thought about it a whole lot recently. And that, let me look here right quick. Has anybody got anything else they want to share? Yeah, go ahead, Andrea. I'm sorry.
I would just remind there is another verse in Daniel 9:27, where it says that on the wing of abominations shall come one that maketh desolate. So we're warned about this through the Apostle Matthew, what Jesus said in Matthew 24. When therefore ye see the abomination of desolation spoken of in Daniel, standing in a holy place, let him that readeth understand. So that's one of the places that the abomination is mentioned. And I picture a wing and then a bunch of stuff, because you're not supposed to have any of these. And then the one that's last is that one that makes desolate. So, because every work of your hand has to be according to walking in the good works, of course, of by grace, God giving you the ability to walk in them. And but if they're going to license abominations, if they're going to license things that are pretty bad, then where's this coming from? It's those verses also in chapter 13 that they blaspheme God and blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell therein. And I don't think they know they're doing it. Because that's what it says in Matthew 25. The sheep and the goats, even the sheep didn't know they were doing well there. And the goats didn't know that what they were doing either. So, that verse stands out to me because in my journey, I remember a person quoting me that verse and blaspheming it right away. And it just popped into my head while I think we may have been on one of these studies long time ago, or maybe even in the outreach here long time ago, where it may have been vaguely mentioned. And I went, wait a minute, that's what happened to me. Because I remember the person doing it, but the Lord wouldn't remember. Give me the memory of the person who did it. But it was some guy who did it. And he blasphemed the verse right away. And the Lord put it in my head that that's what happened in the past, you know. That's where he was. And it was just thrown at me as that's what happened, Andrew. It was just someone who said something. I saw that this was a fairly good verse, that when someone tells me I'm not going to see this, then who do I agree with? Jesus, who says I'm going to see it, and the apostle Matthew, who says I'm going to see it, or the person who says that I'm not going to see it, and because he has his own doctrine to fix around it. So, anyways, he's got an error concerning the abomination of desolation and the abominations too, because what would be these abominations? Especially like when Peter warns you about one of them in 2 Peter 3:5, you know, where they have a replacement for creation. And that's a serious item. You know, that's speaking against Luke 3, because it's got the full lineage there all the way back to Adam. So I don't know what to say, but the Lord has to remind you of what he taught you, just like it says in one of the verses, you know, that he's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name. He's going to teach you all things and remind you of what he taught you. And that's not necessarily quoting a verse. Because you can just say no, that's wrong. And heavens for some of these things that they have licensed in the free world. Even some atheists wouldn't want to believe in those things. So there's some really huge items there. You know, if you can just think about some of the things that they're. I realize that this is done at a different level. It's outside. But even the people in the church tend to even forget what is legal, what is holy and legal, you know. Rather than the fulfillment of this legality and holiness, you know, which would be through his grace, you know, because and his grace gives us the love to follow the commandment. And I just worry about other people. You know, I could see what they teach some children today, that I never was taught those kind of things, you know, till I was at least in high school, you know, where I can make a pretty good decision, not even being saved, what side to pick here. And I sometimes believe the Lord draws people, yes, in a 6:44 of John, where he says, no one can come unto me unless the Father draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Well, raising up is taking up your cross also and following him. He's going to raise you up on your cross. You're making a decision there, where you're forgetting your old life and remembering the new life. And no one who has a new life would want to license the old life again, because then you're repenting in reverse. So I'm just distraught for people and what is going on, and you can tell that there is this wing quickly filling up of these abominations. The last one comes. How it relates to patience is there has to be patience in that too, because there's even patience with for your healing, because an alternative word is an alternative word, and we don't judge each other on this. It's just there is a struggle sometimes, and we want the Lord to help us. I don't want anyone feeling neglected or feeling judged, because then just by someone else talking, this could happen, and you really have to choose your words well sometimes when you hear some things, you could just even be going for a walk and hear some things that are different spirits. It's their argument, fighting, and not speaking well. And of course, if you can have this happening between the people who might be carnal or who might not even be associated with the church at all, then how much more on guard do you have to be when you pass by these things? You can sense it. And all you're doing is trying to go out for a walk on a nice sunny day, And anyways, it's not that I don't have to go to work anymore because I'm retired, but sometimes I wonder. I used to wonder if all that bad stuff is still going on out there, and you get really shocked sometimes from some of the things you hear and see. Anyway,
Whoa.
it's sad.
Yeah, you can't hear me because I was muted one. Amen. All right. Has anybody got anything else on this? Or anything else as far as that goes? We talked about the armor of God last week. Does anybody have any more input on that? Last week or the other day, actually. Yeah. Yeah, Judy.
I enjoyed your teaching on Tuesday.
Well, thank you.
It was really good.
Me too.
Talk about the Melinda.
On Wednesday, yeah. Wednesday, you're
Oh,
recording?
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I may have said Tuesday. I meant Wednesday, yesterday.
Yesterday,
Yeah.
yeah.
That was good. That was John Malindi from Uganda. Awesome testimony. Kind of makes you think about the way we pray. You know, it makes you want to get down and do some serious praying and pray in the spirit and do the things that God wants us to do to help other people. Intercessors, we need intercessors. Yeah, listen.
I went on YouTube, and I don't know when this was. It was lots of years ago. And he was talking about this, and I don't know if this is the first time he talked about it or not, because there
He
was
who?
John Melindy.
Oh, okay. You didn't say.
And
I didn't know who's talking about.
one thing that really got me was he was talking about breaking through, breaking through that rock, or whatever.
Yeah.
But he also talked about, and I can't quite remember if this was part of what you shared too, but coming together as a group to breaking through that rock, and he was saying about have like. I think he was saying like about having that open heaven or whatever, like over your home, and then even like in your community, having like, in other words, like tearing down the principalities and rulers of darkness, the principalities over your area, because you all come in, because we all come into an agreement. Anyway, I was just thinking about, it kind of made me think of Revelation 12, the war in the heavens, and when he was talking about, he said, and I'm pretty sure this is part of what you shared, Michael. He said about an angel. That like our angel could be bound, our angel has on the armor that we have on, and about and that our angel can be bound because our prayers aren't getting through. Basically, their angel is bound by the demons, the fallen angels or whatever.
Why are they bound by the demons?
Because we're not breaking through, in prayer, I think is what he said. Yeah.
Yeah. And what? Maybe sin in your
Yeah,
life
and
and things like that.
right, yeah. So, anyway, it made me think of that war in heaven in Revelation 12, and David saying about, the angels were doing what they were doing, and the saint was cast to the earth because of our prayers.
Yep.
And it just made me think about on the day of Pentecost, they were all in prayer in one accord, and the Lord poured out His Spirit. And it's like I've often wondered and thought, that it's our prayers that's going to bring the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the latter rain, which to me is a defeat of the enemy. It's a defeat. It's a casting down of Satan to the earth, the casting down of the dragon. That's just, I don't know if what I'm saying is true, that that's what it's going to take. Our prayers, casting Satan to the earth, is what is going to facilitate the outpouring of the Spirit. I don't know. Because David says that, God uses our prayers to do anything that he wants to do. So if we're not, if I'm not in cooperation and praying what I need to be praying, then he can't do it, or he will go and find someone else that will do it. Am I correct? I mean, that's what I kind of remembered. Like, for instance, I was recently reading Predestined, Called, and Elect, and there are people that say that if you don't go out there and preach the gospel, people ain't gonna get saved. And David says something to the effect, no, if you don't do it, he'll find somebody else that will. Something like that. So,
We've all got a job to do, and the Lord gave us all the instructions in the Word of God. He also gave us the authority to do what He's asked us to do in the Word of God. All we need to do is find out what it is He wants us to do. Most of us already know what it is, and that's to pray and to believe.
And I know for me, and we've talked about this, and you've encouraged us in this, like with what's his name? Little about breaking through in prayer or something. What's his name? Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin.
Oh,
And
pray until you pray until you get the breakthrough.
and I'm just sitting here thinking, okay, maybe we need to pray together more often, doing warfare. I mean, really pray and doing warfare to help each and every one of us individually to do that in our own special time. Because
That's what
we
I've been
need to
trying to
pray for
say for a
each
long
other,
time.
but also do warfare together is what I'm thinking. I need to pray for you all, and you all need to pray for me. We need to pray for each other is, just some thoughts are going through my head. I'm not trying to teach or instruct or anything, but I'm just telling some things that are going through my head that it's, sometimes I think actually lots of times, I pray, maybe not specifically enough. Pray about things more specifically. And I think that if I was with other people praying more often, and doing warfare, what one doesn't think of, the other thinks of, the Lord shows them or whatever. And it's like, I think I would learn more of how to pray by hearing each person, that it just, my thought is it would help each and every one of us, by really coming in and battling together. Just some thoughts.
Well, but the biggest thing about coming together is one sends 1,000, two sends 10,000. You've got a lot more power there.
That too, yes. But like I said, I think it would help me individually more
Sure.
in my personal prayer time. It's like it amazes me sometimes, like I can be with somebody else, or talking to somebody else, another like-minded believer, and things will come to my mind that'll pop into my head, like that I know it's because of the spirit in that person and me both, that it's like something comes out of my mouth that I wouldn't have probably ever said or thought of or whatever, but you know what I mean? And that just encourages me greatly when something like that, when that happens to me. And that's kind of like the thing of what I'm talking about here in the whole prayer thing. But anyway.
Amen. Glory be to God. That's why I saw you in it. Glory be to God. Remember how Andrew did it.
Yeah, it's kind of like someone's taken a whack at something, and someone's got a different perspective with his prayer, and he takes that second whack, but it's one corporate body because we're one body with
Yes.
Christ, you see. So that sword of the Spirit is now more powerful when there's two people there, because you can just go at a volley, one after the other after the other. And actually, there might even be people in not even saying anything, but they're saying it in their mind what they're gonna pray to addition to what is being prayed, you know. And like you say, you hear what someone says and you get another revelation of something in your head, but that's the way the prayer life should work too. And that's an interesting concept. Praise the glory to God.
Amen. Go ahead, Judy. Thank you, Andrew.
I can definitely agree with what Missy was saying there about when you're together with somebody that other things come into your mind to pray. And I believe part of that is, well, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. So that's Jesus in the midst of us. And the Holy Spirit is working through us and teaching us how and bringing things to our mind, how to pray about stuff as we're sharing and stuff. What else was I was gonna say something having to do with something else way back there, and I'm trying to remember now what it was. Oh, what Michael was teaching and what Missy was talking about. What Michael was teaching yesterday and what Missy was talking about the angels and being armored and with how we're armored and that kind of thing. And what was I was thinking, I wasn't 100% agreeing with that, but I wasn't like, I don't get that because they're there to defend us. But then I was thinking that, okay, well, if I'm in unbelief, that is negative faith and that's blocking what I need. So that's like sin. So that would be how they couldn't answer. But they're just restrained because I know it's like when I try to picture it in my heavenlies what's going on. I know no demon is stronger than my angel. I know that he's stronger, and the heavenly is always going to prevail against the darkness. The heavenly, our kingdom, the kingdom of God is going to prevail against the kingdom of darkness, but. We give place to the enemy when we're in sin or disobedience or whatever that may look at or doubting or whatever restrains them. So that's how I was kind of viewing that in my mind, which is what that would mean, how my angel is dressed with my armor. And I'm like, well, no, he's got all the armor. He's strong. He can do anything. He just needs my obedience and cooperation and agreeing with the word of God. That's how I understand it. So there's this warfare going on, and it's, casting down the vain thoughts and imaginations of the enemy. And then the other thing I was thinking of, but you were talking about Missy, about everyone being in one accord, and that's what we need to be doing to pray in, this anointing. And I agree with that, just in that I also was thinking that nobody knows, Jesus said, no one knoweth the hour of his return when he's coming in his man child. because we don't know yet. And I think part of it is, obviously it's God's timing, for everything, but that we all need to be ready and to be in unity of the spirit so that we can all be in unity of the faith, and that we're maturing and that we're overcoming, because God's gonna, he's gonna do it just like that in all of us. It's not our works, it's our faith. And that's what I think is, he wants us all to be cleaned up, obviously, and not have any, obviously, sin and confess sin or anything like that. Disobedience is something that we're not, have confessed and fighting the good fight for. But I think it's just along those lines of just, he wants us to be in unity of the spirit, that we're all in one accord in the unity of the spirit. I don't know that they were all in one accord in faith, waiting for him to come. I don't know. I haven't really searched that. I was just thinking that thought came to my mind just now, how they were all in one accord and they were in unity. They're all together believing it, So I know we're all in the same spirit. Anyway, I don't know. That's what some thoughts were coming to my mind as you were talking, Missy, about that. Unity,
Let me.
unity of the spirit.
You mean if you're in unity with the spirit, the fire is going to fall. Amen. Let me just talking about praying and our angels. You were talking about that. Let me relate an experience that happened to us years ago here over at Sweetwater. We had started having prayer meetings in the mornings, and we had them over at Sandy's house at where I was living also. And we'd get out on the back porch and we'd pray those little same old prayers, And the Lord opened my eyes to see in the spiritual realm, and I saw angels flying around out there, just kind of lollygagging around. And I saw them in the house. They was all over the house, but they were just kind of sitting around waiting on us, and we wasn't doing nothing to send them out. And so I knew then that we had to start praying. David was there that day, and I told him about this vision, and we all started. Missy, you might even been there, I don't know. No. And we started praying. And when we started praying, all of the angels in the house went out in the front yard, in the side yard, or with the other angels that were flying around, and the ones that were flying around stopped and stood up right there in front of the porch. And when we started praying, like we should have been praying the whole time, you'd see an angel fly off. Then we see another, I'd see another angel fly off. Then I might see two or three of them take off. And they what they were doing, they were answering our prayers. They were going to answer our prayers. We are the ones that tell them what to do. And when you understand that, you start doing like David and I have done here in the last 3 or 4 years. And that's sending the angels to do things. That's our job. That's what we're to do, send the angels to do things. We read the news. Look here, boy, that's some way down. We need to get that to send the angels over to take our money away from them or whatever it is. Whatever it is. And then you read about it in the newspaper. You say, oh my goodness, looky here. That's the power that God has given us in our prayer room. And when we understand that we can change things around you with our prayers, then like y'all have just been talking about just now, come in fellowship together and pray those things and watch those myriads of angels take off. That's the way they do it. And there's liable to be just one, or there might be 15 of them take off, whatever it is. They go to do what you've asked them to do, to pray, and you keep your faith that they're doing the job the whole time. And I started when we started doing that some time ago. gosh, that's been years ago. I started seeing angels everywhere. I knew that they were waiting on us. They're waiting on us to send them. Here's what the Lord showed me about that. He said, they have clocked in and they ain't got nothing to do, Michael. And I knew what he was talking about because everybody's worked in a factory of some sort where you had to clock or somewhere where you had to clock in and clock out. He said they're clocked in and they ain't got nothing to do. They don't have a thing to do. What you gonna do about it? And so we started praying. And when we started praying, they clock in, they go right to work. And I'm just using that as an analogy of the way the Lord is showing me. So we've got angels. You don't have just one. If you're a prayer, if you're an intercessor, you got a bunch of angels sitting around there waiting on you to tell them what to do. That's a natural fact. And when you look, let me show you something. Here's what we've done in the past. David does it all the time. He'll read the news. Angels go do this on us. Get that bunch of yahoos out of there, or whatever it is. Next day you read about it. The other day we did something and had the angels go take their money, these people. Read about it the next day. They're having to sell everything they got in order to finance something. I can't tell you how many times we've done that. What you pray about affects everything around you if you want to. And just believe that it's being done. Same thing with your family. Start praying for your families. Angels go out there and talk to this one and bring him into the kingdom. Break that power of that spirit that's on him and bring him into the kingdom. Or a lot of times I just ask the spirit of inner, what's that? I'll think of it here in a little bit. What's the spirit's name that handles salvations? Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I'll think of it here directly. I talk to him a lot. I say, you send somebody over there to bring him in that they'll listen to. Oh, gosh.
Are you talking repentance?
No. It's an angel that y'all all know about. I'm just having trouble right now remembering its name. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll come up with it. I'll come up with a name if you have to make one up. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. I almost had it. But anyway, we're on the right subject. It's praying, 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 and interceding for the people around us. How do you keep faction out of a crowd? Praying against it. Kicking it out. Kicking the faction out. This faction spirit before it ever gets on someone, somebody. How do you keep a fellowship going? Praying against the enemy, against them that are those, if you know somebody's having a problem, pray for them. And that's how you keep a good fellowship going. Okay. Anybody else got some words of wisdom on praying? How many of you pray every day? Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Julie. Oh, you were just raising it. Okay.
Right. No, I wanted to say something.
Okay.
Praying in the spirit is
Powerful.
a necessity. That's a necessity because there's so much I
Yep.
don't know how to pray about.
Yep.
Because I'm not reading the news and I'm not going online and looking at stuff.
So what do you
So
say when
I
you start praying, before you start praying in the spirit, do you ask, what do you ask the Lord?
ask the Lord, fill me with His Holy Spirit to pray through me for what's going on in my life right now,
Amen.
and to pray however He wants to use my tongue, and I might pray the scriptures for a while, or I just might put on some music and start praying in the spirit, and trying to focus on praying and doing warfare against the stuff that I know that I need to do warfare against, that my enemies that want to distract me or discourage me and that kind of stuff. Because if I can't get my mind right to begin with, I'm not going to be able to continue with my day. So sometimes it's doing battle for myself first. And so I can be effectual elsewhere. I don't think there's any day that's exactly the same, but yeah, I pray in the spirit.
When you pray in the spirit, there's a peace that comes over me when I'm praying. And after a while, that peace of God comes all over you, does me, and I understand that He's working on me. Then, and then, when you do like she says, Jenny said, "Lord, pray through me for this. Pray through me for that." Then you know that something's happening in that area. One of the things that I would suggest that everybody pray for is to get this Antichrist spirit of Muslims out of here. That is a completely Antichrist spirit that these people have. Yeah, Judy.
I would add to pray against the faction that's in the government and causing all this
Absolutely.
division,
Yeah.
because there's so much division.
Even in the magazines. Yeah. Well, Lord, we do. Right now, we just come against it. And Father God, we just ask that you place peace in their hearts and show them through visions and dreams, Lord, that they are destroying the movement that you have already brought in here. Have already oh gosh, what's the word? Anyway, we praise you and we thank you for doing that, to run it out of the GOPs and put it into the Democrats, because they're a bunch of Antichrist people too, and a lot of them are. And Father, we just thank you for doing that. And Lord, we thank you for causing these Muslims to get out of here. In Jesus' name, ever how you want to do it, Lord. Pray in the spirit when you do that tomorrow. And let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Let's see how God's going to do it. Yeah, Pat.
Michael, you mentioned something about you saw something or read something about the illegality of the Muslim or Sharia law or whatever that they were trying to do. You spoke about that, mentioned it
I
earlier.
did. I did read it. Someone was telling me about it. I think it was Randy. Was telling me something that was in the Constitution, that if a religion goes against the Constitution, or something like that, other than the Christian, see, I don't know if y'all understand, the Constitution is built on Christian principles. It's built on Christian principles, and anything that comes against that in a religion is not to be, they're not to hold any kind of public office.
Can you find out where that, if it was an article or something, or if it
I
was
don't
some.
know. I just heard it from somebody. It'd probably be easier for you to do it. Go online and just try to find something in it, because I'm too busy to look something like
All
that.
right. I didn't know if it's something somebody gave you or what,
No,
so.
we were just talking about it today, as a matter of fact. Yeah,
Okay.
Judy.
Well, I was just thinking how what they plan to do and what they have been doing in this nation is getting people with that Islam faith, Muslims, into different political offices at the local level, the city council,
Yeah.
different places, and also like we've seen what's happened in New York, the governor or mayor, I'm sorry, mayor. And that's what their goal is, to get that movement into their government so they can start utilizing it with that authority state, because all the states are different, but they have their different laws about different things, so they can make their own rules. And now that's what
Believe he
a
was
lot of it
talking
is
about
about.
a federal. I believe it's a federal rule, not, and this is from years ago. I don't know how I figured it out, but even in the federal level, like you can't have anybody that has a religion that I don't remember. I might be going in the wrong direction here, but it's something that limits people from the Islam, Muslim faith to get into federal offices. Yeah.
And that's why they Muslims want to convert people to, you might be a Christian or you might be something else, but you're lukewarm or you're naive about a lot of things, but people will be they'll convert people to Muslim, to the Islam faith. They could be in office. This is just something to think about. They could be in office already and not be a Muslim, but that's their plan. That is their plan, is to take over and convert people to their religion. Or you die. If you don't, we'll kill you. Just something else to think about and pray about.
I mean, that's why it's anti-Christ. The Muslims that turn to Christianity are the best Christians. But they really are, because they didn't know anything but hate before they became a Christian. And once they became a Christian, all it is love, 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 love. They see Jesus' love for his fellow man, went to the cross for him. Even the Muslims. They see that and they run with it, because they love to love people once they figure it out. That is an anti-Christ spirit, and it's not, I don't call it a religion. I think it's a political movement. Did you know that Egypt used to be a Christian country? Saudi Arabia used to be a Christian country. Iran used to be a Christian country. That's how they took it over. Inaction from the Christian people. They wasn't praying. So we can pray. We can right here. We can start praying against this group, and the Lord's going to help us out, I believe. But David and I have been praying against them for a long time. We saw a guy years ago with a burqa on, walking down the road out here going to Sweetwater one day. Wild looking guy. Yeah, he was a Muslim. I don't know where he came from or what. It looked like somebody set him out there in the middle of nowhere. They probably got tired of listening to him. I guess we're out of time. Lord, I thank you for placing it in everybody's to intercede for the things that you want them to intercede for. And I praise you, Lord, that we're going to start seeing some results from it, some new testimonies. And Father, we just praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Lord, be with us, guide us, and lead us to where you want us to go. And Lord, let us place it in our hearts to pray in the Spirit nonstop. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, folks. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Lord is willing.